Hello once again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WMC's live afternoon daily call-in show. I'm Alan Shartok. Hundreds of Syrian citizens died last week after rockets hit suburban Damascus neighborhoods in an apparent chemical attack against rebel strongholds. The U.S. and its allies are blaming the regime of Syrian President Bashar Assad. Russia is blaming other rebel groups. UN officials are on the ground now trying to figure out what happened. The collective conscience of the world is still taking this all in. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry says the Obama administration feels there has yet to be accountability for what he calls a cowardly crime. Yet the Obama administration hasn't made the call yet on U.S. intervention. As we await developments, what do you think? Do we have any business intervening? And if so, what can we learn from our intervening in past conflicts? Give us a call at 1-800-348-2551. That's 1-800-348-2551. But why don't you wait for just a second, because all five phones are up right now. You can also post comments at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website, wmc.org/VoxPop. You can comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop, and you can email us at voxpop@WAMC.org. That's the way I do it. Just email us at WAMC.org. Well, anyway, we have a lot of people on the phone. We have five people on the phone. Let's get going. The way to get in, and this is the secret, you wait till somebody hangs up, and then you dial that 1-800-348-2551. Here we go with Debbie in Sheffield. Debbie, you're on.
Hi. I've been, you know, following this, and all I can think of is the whole plan that Tony Blair and George Bush had for many years, you know, how many years ago, was to get to Iraq and Iran, so forth. And they, you know, I mean, I may sound crazy.
You don't sound crazy at all. Go ahead.
But at any rate, so, you know, we got Libya, we got that happened. Now we're down to the next place and the next place.
We got Halliburton.
Yeah, I don't know if we ever got him.
No, they got us. Yeah, go
well,
ahead.
Yeah, we got us. But at any rate, so that whole plan, Tony Blair said it right out loud, and that, you know, we're going to do the 1920 plan all over again. We're
okay, well, but Debbie, what do you want us to do?
Well, God, I don't know. I mean, God, it could... God, I don't want to go to war. We only have to pay for it.
Yeah, but what about...
and everybody else wins in the government that has all these businesses over there that make a lot of money.
Well, yeah, but Rosemary Armeo this morning on the roundtable, that first hour, made the point, you know, we got to do something, she said. These people are being gassed to death. That's not
right. But I didn't like that. I don't know. I didn't think that was... I mean, we just... Every time we jump into a war, we have to pay for it, and everybody else has to pay for it. All the people get killed, and it's like revenge.
Well, my point was, when she said you have to do something, you can't just stand by. If we're going to shoot off these missiles from Navy ships, believe me, there's going to be collateral damage that way, too, among both sides. I happen to think this is a horrible situation. Awful.
I do, too. Because,
you know, what I'm hearing now from the administration, I could just see these guys huddled around the Oval Office. What I'm hearing from them now is, well, we can't be for the, you know, the Islamist jihadists on the one hand, and on the other hand, we can't be for Assad. So we're going to make something up. We're going to say we're going to be able to take the forces that are for this. You know, or decent people who are against Assad, and we're going to make them the government. Yeah? Well, I certainly remember our trying to do that in other places, like Iran, and see what happened to that.
Exactly. Oh, my
hey,
God.
Debbie.
Then we killed all the missionaries over there in the other country, and the priest on the...
Hey, Debbie, thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Want to give everybody a chance. Yeah, bye.
Great, bye.
All right. That leaves one free phone. Let's go to Richard in North Adams. Richard.
Yes,
what
hope you can hear me.
Yeah, we can hear
you. I've got a cold, but okay. Yeah, I've got no questions in my mind of the most unpopular possible position. We should send in boots on the ground. We should do whatever it takes because civilization is falling into a world of savagery or barbarism or whatever word we consider applicable. I mean, we've got ocean piracy getting a comeback at this point in planet's history.
So you think you think we should put boots in the ground to do what, Richard?
Move in, occupy, pull action. Yeah.
What if they don't want us? Which they will not. Just like they
didn't want us.
What'd you say?
That's right. They won't want it.
No, yeah. No, I'm not talking about the bad guys, whoever they may be. I'm talking about the regular citizens of that country, just like in Iraq. Poll after poll said they didn't want us there. So we're saving them, but they don't want us. What's the deal?
It's a complication, but I think to make the effort is worth it.
But you have to have a rationale, don't you? In other words, you have to know what you want to do before.
I look at Iraq. Is it better now or worse than under Saddam? I'd say it's better than under Saddam.
I don't know. I don't know.
I can understand that point of view.
Yeah. Hey, Richard, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to Leslie in Hillsdale. Leslie, you're on, but there is one free phone, 1-800-348-2551. Leslie, you go.
Yeah, so first of all, hi, Alan. Great question. No, the answer is no. We don't deserve to be in there. I think it's just kind of like Miley Cyrus, a little bit of distraction. What's going on? We got a huge NSA scandal where the whole government is spying on the American people, and then here we go, Syria, duh. You know, Syria's been going on for a while. We could have stepped in the beginning, and that would have been good. But right now, you know, America is in no place to say bad, bad for chemical weapons. We Fallujah'd all of Iraq.
I don't get it, Leslie. I'm trying to follow you here.
Bottom line, we use chemical weapons in Iraq. We use chemical weapons and partial nuclear weapons in Iraq. We use depleted uranium.
Wait. Who said... Am I hearing information I didn't hear before?
No, you could actually do a little bit of research online and actually find some really good, well-sourced stories.
We use
depleted uranium in Iraq.
Uh-huh.
We used white phosphorus, and we also used napalm in Fallujah.
Of course.
And America now standing on this high horse says, no, don't use chemical weapons. We got to come clean first. Then we can go in.
But you know, it's my program. I get to ask a question.
Yeah, okay,
So your baseline is don't go.
My baseline is don't go. It's a distraction. More bankruptcy of the United States, Treasury. More death, more destruction. Doesn't solve anything. There's got to be a way through this.
Okay, but you're now the president of the United States. Poof, you're the president of the United States. What do you want to do?
I'm president of the United States. What I would do is I would go meet with Russia, and I'd have a summit.
By the way, don't think that isn't going on. I'd bet the ranch that's happening. In other words, as I said this morning, you know, the idea that, we won the Bay of, we won the nuclear crisis in Cuba. Yeah, except that there was the exactly that back channel stuff going on, and we promised Khrushchev we'd get our stuff out of Turkey that was aimed at the Soviet Union. We did. We never heard about it till years later. And I suspect that same kind of thing is going to happen now.
Yeah, and, you know, start to make some friends in this world. America has done a really good job over the last decade to piss a lot of people off.
Hey, watch that. Come on now. You know we got a license here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm actually on the line, but I don't think that's one of the seven words.
It doesn't matter. I don't like it. I don't want you to do it. Go ahead.
Okay. But we've done a lot to actually create a lot of enemies. We have done a lot. People are upset with the United States of America going in and bombing this. Drones here. NSA spying around the world. UN being spied on. Everyone being spied on. Our allies being spied on. Our American people, their phone records being lifted.
Did you hear the thing this morning? It's a little bit of far afield, but did you listen to the thing this morning in which Michel Norris was doing this wonderful interview with a guy who had helped the king write his speeches and was his chief counsel and the rest of it? And in the end, he's writing a book, and he needed all the information. He wanted to remember all of the meetings he had with King. And they went to the FBI, and there was every transcript of every phone call he had made. And so it helped him. Hey, Leslie, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, right. Let's go to Mike in upstate New York. Where's upstate New York, Mike?
Up around Kingston.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay, and Syria. I don't think we should be going into Syria. Isn't that what the UN Security Council is supposed to be doing? Yeah, isn't that their job to take care of this?
Well, first of all, I couldn't agree with you more. But secondly, you got China, you got Russia, you got the United States, you got Great Britain. China and Russia are never going to vote for it. Meantime, people are dying from chemical weaponry. Now, I happen to believe we shouldn't go in either. On the other hand, who invited us?
Right. Now, we've had over 10 years, the slaughter's been going on in Darfur and South Africa and the Congo. Thousands of people have been getting killed, and we don't hear nothing about that. Why aren't we doing something about that? Why all of a sudden now we're worried about Syria? Yeah. Chemical weapons are killing people. So are bullets and rockets are killing people. Yeah. You know, I mean, I don't know what the all
the
of a sudden.
The question is, if you took a vote, do you want the United States here amongst you? What would they say? I suspect they'd say no. In the same way
not.
They said in Iraq. So then we go in to save lives at a place we're not welcome. That is,
right.
That's what's bothering me about all of this.
And once you fire that first shot, how are you going to back that up when they start?
You bet. And we're now taking credit. The president's taking credit, properly so, for getting us out of Afghanistan and all the rest. And now we're going to go do it again? Hey, Mike, thanks
right.
for the call. Appreciate it.
Okay.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from New York Electric Motor Service, Glens Falls, New York, specializing in electrical and mechanical apparatus sales and service, a subsidiary of Applied Dynamics. NewYorkElectricMotorService.com. Glens Falls Hospital, serving 6 counties in the Southern Adirondacks and 28 locations. Big City Medicine, Hometown Care, Twitter, Facebook, and GlensFallsHospital.org. Henry's at the Farm Restaurant, Milton, located at the Buttermilk Falls Inn, 4 miles south of the Mid-Hudson Bridge. Dinner Wednesday through Sunday, lunch Friday and Saturday, and Sunday brunch. Henry's at Buttermilk.com. And NBT Bank, offering trusted fiduciary services, investment management, and retirement planning for individuals and businesses. NBTBank.com.
And we are back thanks to Zachary, who has brought us back. Click your heels 2 times and say, "Bring me home, Zachary." And here we are. Okay. Every phone is ringing. Let us go to RJ. And by the way, thank you, everybody, for calling. Let's go to RJ in Albany. Okay, RJ, you're on.
Hi. I don't know. I feel that if the UN votes that there should be some kind of intervention.
They're not going to do it. Hey, RJ, they're not going to do it. You got the Russians, you got the Chinese. How are you going to get them to vote for that?
Well, you know, if they don't vote for it, then I guess I'm against it. But
okay.
I'm not so sure about that because Russia seems like they might be open to something, you know. And
what makes you say that? I haven't heard that at all. I've heard quite the opposite. You know, Putin has been getting away with flexing his sort of dictatorial muscles. Unless, as I suggested before, there's some kind of back channel thing going on where they ask for something and we give it to them.
Yeah, well, I think there is some kind of back channel thing going on. I don't think that the president would have, you know, made the statement that they might go in unless there's something going on with Russia. I do think that, you know, it's kind of shameful that 100,000 people have died there, and we've just been sitting around watching. And you know, I mean, isn't that a little bit shameful?
What and who appointed us the policemen, RJ?
Well, we apparently appoint ourselves. We have the military that's bigger than, you know, all the other militaries combined. So I think we have a responsibility to try to, you know.
Because we have a big military. Because we have a big military.
No, because there's a lot of people dying in that country. And we said over and over, you know, nobody's allowed to use chemical weapons. And I totally disagree with that earlier call who said we used them in Iraq. That's baloney. And he said something about nuclear weapons and what
but let's stay with the topic.
Okay.
You're the president of the United States. You want to go in, use the largest military in the world to keep the peace, but obviously then you have to come down on one side or the other. And which side do you want? Do you want the thugs on the Islamist side? Who, they're not all thugs, but some of them certainly are. That's how we got Obama. That's how we got Osama. We were supporting him in Afghanistan. Are you sure you want to do that?
I don't know that necessarily. We don't have to get rid of the regime.
Well, that's what
they're
saying.
That's what we did in Iraq. We got rid of the regime, and that was a big mistake.
So what do you but what do you want to do? I mean, I
think
just don't get
that
it.
We have this giant military. We have, and we should be able to use it if we get cooperation. Maybe not from the UN, but at least from our closest allies like Britain and France.
Well, we had those last time. And everybody agrees we were premature because of the weapons of mass destruction, but we had them.
France did not agree to go.
Okay, but England did, and our close ally did. And before that, the original Papa Bush incursion, we had them all.
Yes, that's right. And in the Papa Bush's thing, it was very successful.
It was.
In the second Bush's thing, it was just pie in the sky foolishness.
Okay, RJ, you make a lot of good points. I thank you for calling. Really, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to Andrew in Amherst. Andrew, you're on now.
Good afternoon, Alan.
Hey.
I love the show. Love your show. A couple of thoughts. First of all, I am definitely against any military intervention into Syria whatsoever. Across the board, we stay out. We've got our own problems at home. Secondly, what really concerns me is that if Syria really wants to up the ante, they just have to point some of those chemical weapons on rockets at Israel. And boy, oh boy, are we going to be in for a big deal, because the U.S. will come to Israel's side.
There's no question in my mind about that.
The whole thing is scary, and Putin has, as you know, has come out and basically told the U.S., back off.
But Putin's not going to war with the United States,
for sure. No, but his only hand in the Mediterranean is Syria, with the Mediterranean Sea. Russia's obviously lost a lot of its influence within that region since
you're right. You're right. They've got a lot of people in. They've got a lot of their people. I think I read 50,000 in Syria now. But it's interesting, because if you listen to NPR this morning, Andrew, they did an analysis about the Israeli thing. And they said, which I found fascinating, that the Israelis were quite comfortable with the Syrians, with Assad, because there was really an informal understanding nobody was gonna be bellicose in that area. That those were stable lines, and they didn't want any more. So now, you support the Islamists on the other side, are you going to have the same deal?
Well, I don't know who you support with the free.
Right.
I think it's a grave mistake to go in and take another dictator out and then have chaos like in Iraq, which George W. Bush did. Mm-hmm. I think it's the wrong way to go. This thing has to be handled in a totally different way.
Okay, which way? Come on now.
I think personally that we need to use diplomatic means and work with Russia, because Russia has a very heavy hand over Syria. They have a lot of influence.
Yeah, it's true.
And getting cruise missiles shooting from some of the ships, the U.S. Navy ships in the Gulf, that is the Mediterranean, is not the answer for this.
The answer is, do we really know that the other side hasn't been using them? I read something in the Times about one of the Islamists who took American prisoner, and how badly they had been treated. This is really a Hobson's choice.
Well, I say that we stay out. I say we stay out entirely. I'm very sympathetic with the situation of the chemical weapons. I think this is a very big deal. But I think, on the other hand, the U.S. going in there in any form, we're going to come out of this as a loser, just like we did, not necessarily a loser, but as we have in Afghanistan and Iraq. We have not made friends, and it seems like all we do is end up hurting ourselves and costing our treasury and our blood with this.
But not our military-industrial complex. In other words, as one wag said the other day, the only one who makes out is Halliburton.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Those guys are crooks.
Well, I'm not prepared to say that because
I'm not prepared
to get sued. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean, well, yeah. Yes.
Hey, Andrew, you make a lot of sense. I thank you for your call. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
It's a pleasure. Yeah. Thank you.
Let's go to Jim in Kingston. One free line, 1-800-348-2551. Jim, your turn.
All right, Alan, thank you very much. Sure. My comment is this is part of a 1,000-year-old religious civil war, Sunnis and Shiites. And I don't see anything we're going to do, Russia, China, anybody, that's going to stop it. These people have been fighting each other for how many years?
Yeah, but wait a second, Jim. You make a point. I'm just reading on Churchill, who after the Second World War lost a good deal of his colonial properties. And I'm wondering whether or not, when you say it's a 1,000-year war, you're absolutely right. Nevertheless, it is also true that these guys are that there's third parties that have either done better or worse, right, as a result of this war going on one side, on the other side. So it's not that easy.
No, not at all in any way, shape, or form. But this is the Hobson's choice is definitely it, because whichever side we back, this actually is more a proxy war between Iran and the Saudis. Between, you know, those are the two leading Shia and Sunni factors. And I wonder what are the Uyghurs in China and the Chechens in Russia? Are they Shia or are they Sunni? And are they just trying to keep their locals calm? Because they're not going to back either, you know, they're backing the Sunni side.
Well, but Jim, one of the things that I'm finding so fascinating in listening to the hour-long debate we put on today, or what you're reading in the papers as they develop this stuff, is that there is a certain, I think, naivete on the part, and maybe I'm wrong, on the part of the administration, that they can single out the positive good guys in the fight on the other side from Assad. In other words, not the terrible Al Qaeda type guys or the militant jihadists, but that there are some people who are committed to a quote fair electoral process and everything else. And how do we do that? Is my question.
We can't. There's no way possible. Just like Osama bin Laden was our boy, he was on the CIA payroll. He had his people fighting the Russians, and he even let us know up front that when it was done, he was coming for us, and we just kind of smiled and laughed and didn't think anything was going to happen. But in this fight, I really, they're slaughtering each other, and I really, there's no way to stop it.
But there was something else you said, Jim, which was very interesting. You mentioned, you referenced Saudi Arabia. Now, you know, we've gone in because we don't like dictatorship. We like democracy. Are you following my drift?
Oh, yeah, and the Saudis are one of the worst.
Hey, Jim, thank you for your call. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Okay, let's go to Ellen in Middlebury, Vermont. Ellen, you're on.
Hi. I wanted to add a point that I don't think has maybe been developed as much as I wish it would be, and that is I think that going in militarily, number one, we're adding fuel to the fire of a civil war. And, you know, as you point out, you can't, I think more people will die. Horrible as it is, all you're going to do is add deaths. But I think if we really care about the people, then what we should actually be working for is a ceasefire. That's not going to solve the long-term crisis, but it would enable aid agencies to get in at least for a while and help people in need who are caught in the crossfire. It would make things somewhat more transparent, at least for a while, so that there couldn't be a second chemical attack. I mean, how do you know? I mean, if to my mind, that's the only thing we could do. The two sides hate each other so much that there's no permanent solution now, but a ceasefire would at least help civilians, and that's who we should care about.
Ellen, how do we know we haven't been trying to do that?
Because I think that, well, look, I mean, our president canceled that trip to Russia over Edward Snowden. To my mind, he should be trying, whatever our disagreements over that, I mean, we should be trying to work with Russia where we can.
Which is interesting because I believe Putin stuck his thumb in Obama's eye on purpose. I think, you know, that's the way that he's thinking he's remaining popular with this appeal to nationalism and the old Russian
But
you have to extend that. You have to extend that. I'm sorry, Ellen, for interrupting. But,
right.
But you have to extend that to his behavior now.
Well, I think that, number one, I don't think Obama should have canceled the summit.
You made that point. Go ahead.
Okay, number two, I think that the journalists on the ground, so far as they can get in there, have said that pretty much, okay, obviously Assad is horrible, right? Evil, horrible. And the rebels are a whole mixture, and a lot of them are not really great in any way. And the civilians are suffering. So if you intensify hostilities, look at Iraq. We went in and we ended up, they're still dying every day there because we created a civil war.
I don't know that we created it.
Well, we engendered it. I mean, it wasn't.
We may have given some oxygen. Yeah, right.
We gave a lot of oxygen. Yeah. Now they were living under a horrible dictator, but they didn't have a civil war, right?
Okay,
I don't know which is worse, but they're both bad. But now you have ongoing sectarian conflict.
Now you made that point. So I'm coming back to you with a question, a real fast question.
Okay.
Boom.
Sure.
You're president of the United States. What do you do tomorrow?
I would be negotiating with Putin
But you don't know that we haven't been doing that.
You know why I don't think we are? Because I think that what I've read in the past is whenever we negotiate, we create these sort of demands to begin with that make it impossible. And I forget, I know with Syria, there might have been something like, well, you know, Assad will have to step down first or, you know, something like that. We tend to not negotiate. I hate to say this, but we need to negotiate in good faith.
Okay, but we just don't know.
I hope it's happening. Yeah. That would be wonderful. But from what I'm hearing, it sounds more like, well, we're going to, you know, send some missiles and take out some air defenses and this and that and the other. And
meantime,
are the people going to be better off?
Meantime, you have McCain saying, and we got to do something significant. We can't just send a couple of missiles. Can you imagine? Hey, Ellen, thank you very much for your call. Appreciate it. You make a lot of sense.
Okay, thanks.
Right. Bye. Let's go to Ben in Richfield Springs. Okay, Ben, you're on.
Alan, how are you today?
Well, I'm all right. People are mad at me for, you know.
For being
stuff.
You?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I don't think it's something we're going to have, you know, a lot of options with as far as going in there and doing something. There really isn't a lot we can do. We could drop some missiles on some of their strategic facilities, I suppose, and I'm sure they're looking at that. But, you know, these civil wars that we try and get involved in, we fail miserably. And we've been failing miserably since World War II.
Okay, but as Rosemary said this morning on the roundtable, people are dying of chemical attack. So while I'm against going in, too, you know that. The question I have for you is, you're president of the United States. You got a huge political constituency who's aghast at, the chemical stuff and saying this is something that can't be tolerated. And we've got the biggest army. And what do you do? You're the president. Boom.
He's going to have to tell people to chill. He's going to have to tell the hawks to chill. It's going to play out over time.
Wait. But what if tomorrow, 10,000 people are gassed to death?
Yeah, I don't think there's a whole lot of real options for the United States. What are you going to send in a bunch of guys to run around and shoot at who? Shoot at what?
Do you think it's naive, the word I used earlier, to think that we could pick out those rebels who are good guys as opposed to the ones who are bad guys?
We have failed at every one of these things that we've gone in on since World War II. That's 60 years of failure on the part of the military. We can't name one situation we've made better with military intervention.
There will be those people who will say to you, Ben, as they have said to me, you know, you're wrong. They are oversimplifying. Afghanistan is better off now than it was. You know, it's not a training base for the bad guys and all the rest of it. And Iraq, with all of the bombings and everything that is still going on, is still better off than some brutal dictator who would just have everybody scared to death. So, you know, there will be people who argue with you on that point.
Well, that's what that's what we are. We're human beings, and we argue on points. But
indeed we are. Indeed we are.
There is no, and I think another point,
yes,
is that the Russians and the United States, we sell all these countries all this weaponry,
chemical,
and that unconscionable trade that goes on.
Oh, yeah.
To
no,
support
that's
to support the respective military-industrial complexes of both countries. Why isn't that ever talked about?
Well, I talk about it all the time, as you know. So the question then becomes, if you take the floor out of that the economy goes to, you know where, hey there, hi there, baby in a high chair, goes down, what do you do then? I mean, don't you think that's part of it?
Our economy, because we're a war-based economy?
Yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, that's... Well, we're supposed to have some sort of a moral conscience about what we do with our with what we do with our economy, aren't we?
Yeah, good luck to the world. Hey, Ben, thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
See you, Alan.
Okay.
Bye.
We're going to take a very short break, 7 seconds or so, and we'll be back for Jeffrey and Jay and Lois and Ron.
Support for WAMC comes from College Street Motors, Amherst, Massachusetts, specializing in foreign and domestic car and truck repair services and 24-hour towing and recovery service for over 30 years. CollegeStreetMotors.com. Ward's Nursery and Garden Center, Great Barrington, for long-blooming perennials, hardy mums, native ornamental grasses, shade trees, blueberries, garden supplies, and garden advice. Ward'sNursery.com. Reform Pilates Studio, Saratoga Springs, featuring Ramona's Pilates, providing a fully equipped studio with Gratz apparatus, private and small group classes, reformyourbody.com. And Berkshire Co-op Market, Great Barrington, Massachusetts, a community-owned natural grocery store dedicated to sustainable agriculture, the local economy, and the environment. Berkshire.coop.
We are back on the Vox Pop, your program, and you can, you know what, let us know at voxpop@wamc.org. Jessica Marshall, Jessica Bluestein Marshall is here with us and is just going to read two comments real quickly that came over that way. Jessica.
We have two comments from Facebook. One from John. Continued civil war in Syria is in Israel and our best interests. Internal struggle only serves to weaken Syria. If we get involved at all, strategic air missile strikes to level the playing field makes the most sense.
And
from Sandy Lynn, also on Facebook. We can't represent ourselves as a strong parental figure of democracy, make broad stroke demands and threats, and then not do something, right? That being noted, I think we should have stayed out of it in the first place.
Thank you, Jessica. Wonderful to see you. Okay, let's go to Jeffrey in Lenox. Jeffrey, we're coming around the bend here. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex. Good afternoon. First of all, I'm pretty much convinced that the United States has committed itself. You don't hear Kerry.
Oh, no, we've committed ourselves. You're right.
Sure. And personally, I think we need to. No boots on the ground, but I think if we strategically took out bases, weapons depots, and if I'm not mistaken, you know the location of the gas.
Yeah, but once we do that, Jeffrey, don't we help the guys on the other side? That's the interesting question. In other words, there are some of these Islamists, Al-Qaeda, there's people in that mess, in that amalgam that are opposing the government, who we would rather not see in office.
No question. That happened in Libya as well. But as you pointed out, what's the alternative? Now, Assad, this is his second gassing, and I think he thought maybe, and maybe he miscalculated when he was watching the chaos in Egypt, that he was going to get away with this. If Obama does not do this, this is going to embolden Assad, and we can fully expect far more casualties with gassing in the future. Personally, I have no doubt about that. It's messy, not a solution, but if Obama does not respond, I think it's going to be a huge mistake. And personally, it's going to be hard for me to watch on the news, as you mentioned, you know, the next gassing claiming 10,000 lives. And then we'll react. I mean, at some point we have to respond. It's going to be limited, and it's not a solution for sure. but I think we have no choice.
Jeffrey, I thank you for your call. Very salient points. Thank you. Let's go to Jay in Worthington. Jay, you're on.
Hi. You mentioned Michelle Norris's interview. My takeaway from that was that Martin Luther King was branded the most dangerous Negro in America.
Correct.
And I think...
By the FBI, we should say.
Yes. Yeah. And I think if Jesus comes again, he'll be labeled by them the most dangerous Christian in America and receive the same treatment he did the last time.
There was, by the way, a novel that posited that, which I read. I'll never forget it, which basically the outcome was the same. But so go ahead, Jay.
And with respect to Syria, I have stopped listening to NPR for the last year and a half because I feel we're being softened up for war. I think war is inevitable. I mean,
so do you think NPR has been playing it?
I think they've become fair and balanced, Alan, with the new leadership.
So, no, but I don't get it. Are you telling me, because I'm really interested in this. You know, I have my own criticisms of NPR. But do you think that, in fact, they're playing it one-sided?
I think that it, whatever side they play, effectively it winds up being sort of propagandistic, if I can.
On whose side? You think that they're pro-Obama?
No. I don't think they're playing a side. I think it's the government side. I don't think there's a side. There's not a side.
Okay.
They're working for the government. It's the dominant, meme, whatever Washington is putting forward as their, wish list or their intentions. It's, received uncritically by NPR and then promulgated by them.
Now, don't get me wrong, and I don't mean to be a wise guy, but, and this is respectful, but if you're not listening to NPR, what are you doing on the phone?
Alan, I was driving in my car and your voice was on. It was a subject that mattered to me. I listened. But no, I'm not saying I don't listen to AMC.
Okay, that's fair.
I absolutely listen to AMC, but I listen to, the Deluxe Living Room and, things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I feel as though, the NPR feed is, before it was Libya, then it was Iran, now it's Syria. It seems to be a propaganda tool of the government.
Jay, I thank you for your call.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to Lois in Fort Plain. One free phone. Lois in Fort Plain, you're on.
Good afternoon, Alan. I'm so nice to talk to you.
And to you, Lois.
I spend all my time listening to NPR almost, except music itself, because that's all I have. And this track phone, which does not work in my house, is all I have, too, and only about 30 minutes, I'm guessing, left.
Okay, so but you're not going to get 30 minutes.
I think it's going to take 30 minutes.
No,
so
you can have a minute and a half. Go ahead.
All right, should we go into Syria is the question, correct?
It is.
No.
Okay.
The only solution is negotiation and diplomacy, because we're on the brink of what?
Well, Lois, let me ask you this. What happens if, another canister comes down and kills 10,000 people? What do you want to do? Stand by?
Negotiate. Because you're going to, if that's going to happen anywhere until they truly, truly convince people that violence only begets violence.
Okay, Lois, all of that is fair, and I'm gonna ask that we end this little conversation only because the line is so bad, and I appreciate.
I know, and it can't be any better because I have no other.
Okay,
and I want to congratulate Obama for not committing at all. We need to negotiate with all the interested parties, and after all.
Okay,
Russia is taking our astronauts to the space station.
Okay, Lois, thanks
for
calling.
Don't forget that.
Thank you.
So we have common interests.
Okay, thank you. Okay, let's go to Ron in Springfield. Ron, you're on.
Yeah, hi. I just want to say that I think that the president will be taking the nation to war under false premises.
And what's the false premise?
Again, like in Iraq.
What's the false premise?
Because this is all neocon policy that General Wesley Clark talked about many times on YouTube. You can video search his video about the plan to dominate the Mideast. And if you look at what's happened over the past 10 years, starting with Bush, Iraq, Libya, and Syria,
Afghanistan,
all these countries are falling. This is part of that neocon plan to dominate the Mideast. And this war, a lot of it was started by outside factions, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Mideastern countries, Jordan, Turkey. They all instigated what supposedly was a civil war, but outside factions were the ones that basically started what happened.
Okay, Ron, I'm going to ask you to, because we've gone over a lot of that before, I'm going to ask you to briefly explain what the neocon position is.
The neocon position is to dominate the resources of the Mideast, and that is to take over all those countries that I mentioned and that were under the old Soviet Union umbrella in a time period when Bush was in office. But this has been extended. If you look at what Obama has been doing, this is just a continuation of this domination of one country after the other to get rid of their oil resources, natural resources, and to make these countries basically look at Libya. Libya is a failed state now. Look at Iraq. Iraq's a failed state now. Are we better off? I don't think so. And
okay.
I don't think we're going to be better off.
Okay, Ron, we only have about 8 minutes to go, so I want to give everybody a chance, okay? Thank you for calling. Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right, let's go to Jeremy in Woodstock. Jeremy, let's go.
Good afternoon, Alan.
Hey.
First of all, anybody who is talking about us negotiating with Russia hasn't been paying attention in the last 2 years. Russia has absolutely no interest in Russia for negotiation. There's no incentive for it. The only interest that we have shared with Russia in Syria is to keep al-Qaeda from taking over. Russia has a solution to that. It's called Assad. Their solution to al-Qaeda is to keep Assad, because Assad is their boy.
Well, he's also he's their client. That's right.
He's their client. I think that I've been generally supportive of Obama, especially considering the competition. I'm not usually anything you'd consider a neocon or a hawk, but I think we're seeing a pattern of behavior now. Anywhere where there's a failed state or there's a lot of suffering, and it's allowed to stagnate because international leadership falters there, al-Qaeda steps in or Hezbollah steps in.
Okay, but wait.
Sure.
Very quickly, boom, you're Obama. What do you do tomorrow?
I think that if we're going to put money in there, we do not arm anybody. We don't arm anybody because there's nobody to arm. If we're going to put money into that region, we put it into political organizing and humanitarian aid. We find a way to try to create an opposition that's viable, not militarily, politically.
Okay, tomorrow, Jeremy.
For people to follow.
Gotcha.
Well, there is no one-day solution. It doesn't work that way.
Well, no, I'm no.
That,
no, I made you the president.
I'm telling you, it's a three-pronged strategy. One, you do that. You start doing that right now. You start creating something that can take place, can take its place. Number two, you know what? I don't have a problem with being militarily aggressive with Assad. I think that it hurts our competitors, it hurts our enemies, and it ultimately it could help the people, but only if we manage to do it in a way that doesn't empower al-Qaeda, which is, I think, the reason that we need to treat al-Qaeda in Syria the same way we treat al-Qaeda in Africa, the same way we treat al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. We look at the border areas, we start monitoring the border areas, and we start taking those guys out. If al-Qaeda leadership internationally is in Syria, those guys should be targeted the same way they are in Africa.
Jeremy, how are you taking them out? Boots on the ground?
No, drones. We haven't used boots on the ground to take out al-Qaeda leadership in years. We've used drones. It's been very effective.
Okay, Jeremy, thank you. Let's go to Jim in Warwick. Jim, you're on.
Hi. I have one thought that perhaps some of the factions who have engaged themselves with the rebels, who are outsiders, would like nothing more than the U.S. to be involved. The reason being that if the U.S. does become involved, I believe they think that we will fail, which is probably true. and will spend billions of dollars for reasons.
Oh, Jim, who are they?
That's the point. We don't know. There's certain. I think there's enough mix in the on the rebel side so that we don't know who is who there. We have
I couldn't agree. I couldn't agree with you more. I couldn't agree with you
but
more.
But I do believe that there are people there who are have nothing to do with Syria, but are more interested in mixing things up so that we would engage ourselves militarily, fail, and spend billions of dollars for that failure.
Okay, Jim, I'm going to cut you off because I just want to give everybody a chance, and we only
sure.
have a few seconds. Thank
yep.
you so much, Jim. Appreciate
you bet.
That. Yeah. Keep the point. Keep to the point, everybody. He did a great job of it. Let's go to Nancy in Belchertown. Go, Nancy.
Hi. I appreciate Jim's point of view because that is my own. I think we are being drawn in and by those pushed in by those on our own side, which I would say is the military-industrial complex. They always make money over these things. They never lose. And we're being drawn in by the people who would like to see us fail and would like to see our president go down in flames. It's so hard to say what's going on over there, and I have to agree with the gentleman who said that he doesn't know enough about the other side of things. And I don't either, and I think I'm pretty well-read on this subject. As far as Assad... He will use his people as fodder. If we go in and do something, he'll just say, well, you think that's something. I'll gas 1,000 people, 5,000 people. At what point will the United States say, okay, whoa, you're willing to kill way more people than we are. And I feel like we're being just pushed and pulled along into a complete disaster.
Okay, Nancy, I'm going to thank you for that, and I'm just trying to get a few people in. Thank
okay,
you very
thank
much.
Okay, thank you. No
yeah.
problem.
Let's go to Ryan in Berkshire County. Ryan, go.
Oh, hi. Just to be quick, Alan, I guess all I want to say is that as for our economy, I heard somebody say something a little bit earlier. I think it's time we move away from our economy functioning literally because of war, and I think that's kind of what the bus tour was all about this past week. And also for Syria, I think we're being pulled into it, and I can't justify it.
Ryan, thanks for being brief. I appreciate your views. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Thank you, Alan.
Right. Let's go to Brad and Fonda. Brad and Fonda, you go. Just a sentence or two.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call, Alan.
Sure.
I just want to make one brief comment and then give it to the next guy. And that is, I was listening to WAMC this morning, and I noticed... And one of the news stories that the price of oil, Brent, I think North Sea Brent crude, was took a spike today.
Yeah, no, there's no question. Anytime there's an excuse, they do it. So
somebody made some money. Today.
Yeah, right. No question. Okay, that's a good point. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
Let's go to Carol in Lenox. Carol in Lenox, you're on.
Alan, hi, it's Carol. You know, we're at the brink right now. We know whenever we've gone in for just a short time, be it 16,000 advisors, Vietnam, or the other side, Chamberlain and appeasing, nice guy, which doesn't
Okay,
help.
But Carol, you got seconds.
Okay. Do we ever study before we're at the edge or totally alternative ways to settle something?
And you don't think they're doing that in the Pentagon? You don't think Obama's doing that? Obama, who takes pride in having gotten us out of Afghanistan and gotten us out of Iraq, you think that that isn't something he's, you know, that they're burning the midnight oil over?
Yeah, but I still wonder if there may be totally radical other ways that we must figure out. Well, we were told with our kids, bribe works. Don't overuse it. Obviously, we do try bribe. I don't know. Can we sneak in the middle of the night and load this place with things that
Terrific.
People want?
Carol, we love you. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Yeah. Good. Bye.
Okay. I'm so sorry. We're gonna have to leave Cole on the line, and we almost got them all in. Cole, I'm so, so sorry from Hillsdale. We're out of time. I thank everybody who called in. You guys are great. Everybody had such good ideas. Support for the Vox Pop comes from Current Compliance Services, LLC, Greenwich, New York. Legal and consulting services on regulatory issues for life insurance and annuity manufacturers and distributors. CurrentCompliance.com and East Haven Hot Tubs and Paradise Spa. Northampton, Massachusetts, offering private hot tub room rentals with indoor or outdoor rooftop tubs. Massage for couples and individuals. EastHaven.com for reservations. And Boyden and Perrin, Amherst, Massachusetts, providing foreign and domestic car, truck, and SUV repair services at a Massachusetts inspection station for over 50 years. BoydenandPerrin.com and the Unitarian Universalist congregations in the Capital Region and beyond, where people with differing beliefs can worship together. CapitalRegionUU.com. Thanks again, everybody, for joining us on the Vox Pop. Remember, the conversation continues online at WAMC.org/Vox Pop. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Bruce Herbach. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein Marshall. And I'm Alan Chartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.